Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
We will now turn the microphone over to Jagatarini. Mataji, yes, this one, who will guide us into the mysterious world of Gopinath. I would like to say something here about Jagatarini, Mataji. You will see that I really see her as someone very special also in my life. And not just as because she is the wife of Burijan Prabhu, but because she is my Vatman Pradaksha Guru. When I was a little child, I was unfortunately a Stones fan. That is a worldly...
Now you're also a Stones fan.
the worldly group of entertainers. And the leader of this particular ensemble was performing in a movie called Ned Kelly. That's the Australian equivalent of Robin Hood, a gangster who would fight for the benefit of the poor people and fight the injustice with Gundaways. So My father had forbidden me, I was very young, maybe 12 or 13 years, to look at this movie, but that was an incentive to go all the more. And so I went there, and it turned out that I saw in the movie the person for whom I had come, the leader of this ensemble, the female main role was played by Jagatarini. While I saw the movie, I did no longer watch my secret hero, but I always watched Jagatarini, who had such an effulgence of purity and spirituality, and I felt very much called to the path of spirituality. And I told all my friends they must go to this movie, but not because of that worldly famous man, but because of the female role. And they asked, what is there something unexpected to be seen from this female role? No, there is a purity and some spiritual calling going out from this. You must see. And I sent many, I believe half of the school went to. I was very energetic and very inspired to see Jagatarini Mataji, and they were not disappointed. I thought that Krishna had sent such a wonderful devotee into my life to inspire me. And I really thought that. And I remember once Subhag Maharaj said that when Prabhupada was in London, there was a tear glistening in his eyes. And Subhag asked him, why are you crying? And Prabhupada said, I'm crying for these two disciples who undergo so much austerity in the city of Hong Kong. There, Burijan Prabhu, who was married to Jagatarini on the order of Prabhupada, he had not seen Jagatarini earlier, was preaching with Jagatarini Mataji. So we are very fortunate to have such dear devotees guiding us in this retreat, whose surrender brought tears of appreciation and love into Srila Prabhupada's eyes. I wanted to say this. I feel this is my sacred duty. Hare Krishna. So we will now be guided into the sweet world of Gopinath by Jagatarini.
Well, first of all, I would like to say in response that as Satyananda Swami was speaking, I was finding great satisfaction and humor in what he was saying, because it reminded me of something, a technique, we would say, that Srila Prabhupada also liked to use. He liked to take somebody who had done something that was somehow or another appeared impressive in the eyes of the world, and magnify it to a massive degree, way out of proportion to what they had done, and make them appear to be absolutely stupendously famous in front of a small or a large gathering of Indians. And I remember when Satyananda Swami was speaking, how one time I was a young devotee, having just come out of my misdoings, and I was in New Zealand, I was in Auckland, and Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture at an art gallery. And I was such a young devotee, it was 1972, I'd only been a devotee for 1.5 years. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting comfortably in a comfortable chair and speaking to an audience. And his beginning statement was that Krishna is the supreme artist, and that was what he wanted to speak about. Nevertheless, as the lecture went on, because I can only claim youthful inability, that as Srila Prabhupada spoke and his accent continued and it was very peaceful and enigmatic, I found myself nodding off. So I was sitting on the floor beside on either side of the chair, sort of somewhat facing to him, and the audience of artistic people were sitting in front. And all of a sudden, through my slumbering state, I hear Srila Prabhupada saying, "And she was a great dancer, traveling around the world, earning millions of dollars." And I, oh no, I'd never done any dancing in my life. And so all of a sudden, I was slouched over, as one becomes when one nods off, and my whole body, I was thinking, how can I appear not to be asleep here? So very, very slowly and calculatedly, I raised my shoulder and opened my eyes and looked, and everyone in the room was looking at me. And I looked at Srila Prabhupada, and never mind, he went on with the next thing. And then when we came home, he said to me, I went into his room, and he was looking very pleased with himself, and he said, "Jagatarini," he said, "how did you like my lecture?" And I was thinking now, what am I supposed to do here? Am I supposed to be honest? Am I supposed to be tactful? What should I do? So I sat there and looked at him for a little while. He looked so self-effulgent and proud of himself. And finally I said to him, "It was very nice." He said, "Yes." He said, "You should make this, and this should be made into a book." He called somebody, his secretary, and I think it was Shan Sundar, and he said, "You send this copy to someone and make this into a book, that Krishna is the supreme artist." So, and my husband was kindly reminding me of another humorous incident that happened, and as a result of my mistakes of youth, was that I was always thinking that because I had tried to get some position in the world, and I had now become a devotee, that it would be nice if somehow or other I could use that as a way to glorify Krishna. This was prior to Srila Prabhupada's visit to Australia and New Zealand in 1972. So one day I was at the temple in Sydney, and I was just simply, it was an ordinary kind of a day, and I was washing the pots, you know, out in the backyard, a very unsophisticated, homely temple setting. And one reporter came, and the reporter, he came and he was doing an article in the newspaper about the temple. So he was looking here and there, and I thought, oh, this might be a good opportunity to add something to his article. So I spoke to him a little bit, and I said, "Oh, you know the visitor?" And so I started a conversation with him. So he turned his attention my way, and he asked, could he take my photo? So I covered my head very nicely, took a pot in my hand, and smiled, and he took a photo, and he left. So Srila Prabhupada was actually in Sydney at the time. The following morning, an article appeared in the newspaper, which when I saw it, filled me with the most incredible embarrassment and horror and shame. Because there on the second page of the Daily Mirror, which was the main newspaper, was the headlines, "Ned Kelly's Girlfriend Becomes Hare Krishna Now." So that was very nice, I have to see. And underneath, they placed two pictures, like a before and after. And the picture of the after was very nice and chaste. But the picture of the before was quite the opposite. And it was all loose and very dark, harsh makeup on, and very, very, very hardly dressed at all in anything. And when I saw the picture, and I realized where I had come from, and Srila Prabhupada was upstairs in the house, and this devotee wrote the newspaper temple president said, "Look at this," and he put it on the table. And I looked at it and I thought, and I said to him, "You're not going to show that to Prabhupada, are you?" And he said, "Yes." And so he thought it was very funny, so he took the newspaper upstairs. And for hours and hours and hours, because he went on with other things, I sat downstairs and contemplated what I had been doing with my life. Because the stark reality was right there. And then he came downstairs and left. And then I asked his servant at that time, his name was Upendra. I said to Upendra, "What did Prabhupada say when he saw that picture?" And he smiled and he said, "When Prabhupada looked at these two pictures side by side with each other, he pointed to the first picture with all the heavy makeup and the loose hair and hardly dressed, and he said, 'In this picture, she looks very morose.' And then he pointed to the second picture where I was dressed very like a devotee, covered and very nicely, and he said, in this picture she looks very happy. And then he looked at the two pictures for a few moments, and then he said, but the materialist would see it the other way. And then he said something else which unfortunately I was lost from my memory. So then I spent the rest of the day, I was doing some service at the house where he was staying, after I heard this, feeling still very sad about what I had done. And just before Srila Prabhupada came downstairs to go to the temple, because his presence was the absolute purity totally pure soul, so anything, what to speak of such a contrast, anything felt like a repulsive quality to have. So he came downstairs and I went over and I felt very bad and I was practically in tears and I bowed down and I touched his feet, which normally we didn't do that, but I touched his feet kind of very embarrassed. And I looked up and Prabhupada looked at me and he said to me, he said, just give this one life to Krishna. He said, we have had so many lives and done so many things, just give this one to Krishna. And then he looked at me again and he said, you are very lucky. He said, Krishna has saved you from so much nonsense. And then he put his head up and he had his shoes on and then he left for the temple. So there was a great purification that took place. And Satyananda Swami in the mood of Srila Prabhupada is affectionately teasing me by adding wonderful dimensions to something that was some other part of another life. But over here...
Over here, I will tease you further. And another... When I was living in Japan, I was doing some... Prabhupada had sent me to Japan in 1970. And then one day, and Brahmananda Prabhu had come over to publish the Krishna book on Prabhupada's order. So this was in 1970. And Vaishnavi, how old are you now?
10.
Where were you in 1970? It's hard to say, isn't it? But one day Brahmananda came over to me and he said, Virajan, you're not happy. And the reason is, you should get married. So I said, oh, and he said, yeah, everyone in the United States is doing it. We said, you're not happy? So, in any case, so he wrote to Los Angeles, and Prabhupada was there, and Prabhupada always said that he arranged our marriage. He would always say that he arranged it. And Jagatirini Mataji, the reason why on one level, that she was sent over to where I was is because this was the Hare Krishna movement in 1970, because she had been coming from Australia and she only had a 6-month visa in the United States. So they didn't know what to do with her. So they thought they might have, she wasn't even initiated yet. And they just sent her to marry me. But before that had happened, I was living in Japan. While she was in Los Angeles, an Australian news reporter came somehow to the temple and interviewed this famous actress. And Dr. Trini said, please don't write a peculiar story about me and about the Hare Krishna movement. So he said, yes, I won't write a peculiar story. And then one day, Jagatirini's mother, who didn't know that she had joined the Hare Krishna movement, was walking down the street in Australia, in Melbourne, Australia, minding her own business, and suddenly she saw the way they advertised the newspapers in Australia. They put the headlines outside the different stores. And suddenly she looks and sees a headline that says, weird cult forces famous actress to marry Japanese monk. she thought, what an interesting headline. So she walks into the store and sees it's her daughter. And to this, how old is your mother now?
88.
She's 88 years old. She met Prabhupada 2 times. And she chants around a day?
Many more.
She chants every day. And a very, very fortunate soul. But she probably was quite shocked at that time. And one time, Prabhupada, when she had met Prabhupada with Vaikarini's father, and every time Prabhupada would see Vaikarini, he would always say, how is your mother and your father? Very, very congenial. And then one time Prabhupada said to them, she will save you.
Yes?
She will save you. And he responded, we always thought she would. But anyway. So anyway. And then one time I went to Los Angeles and one of the devotees asked me, how long have you been married? So I said, 35 years or something. He looked at me and said, to the same person? This is life. And now we will go to back to Vrindavan. But what I wished to say was that that Prabhupada has saved us all from so much nonsense. So much nonsense. Regardless of what body we are in, without Krishna, we were doing nonsense. Nonsense that would lead us, we don't even want to think of where. And now, by Prabhupada's mercy, we're sitting in here, in this room, which is so spiritually surcharged and so sweet. By Giriraj Govardhana. And this is, yes, it is the mercy of Giriraj Govardhana. Yes, it is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And yet, yes, it is the mercy and kindness of so many Vaishnavas. But it is especially the kindness and mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Mm-hmm.
So, after I changed my ways, I still had a nature and tendency towards stories and depicting stories and entering into the realm of the different... Previously it was movies and different things like that, but now it became Krishna's Leela. So for some time in Gita Nagari, in America, we were making puppets. And we developed a whole series of puppet shows that we could do on all various last times from the Bhagavatam, from the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, and also from the Krishna book. I think by the time we left Gita Nagari, we had about 35 puppet shows that we could perform. And then after the puppet era finished, we came to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, I began there to work with a Gurukul, which was sort of like... The puppets were, they were fairly easy because the only difficulty was to find a partner. But the puppets, you just put them on your hand and they start to act. And then I worked with the Gurukul, but the Gurukul boys weren't quite as easy. We did plays and so forth in Vrindavan. The boys were a little more hard to manage. And then when I got to Australia in 1997, a friend sent me a very small deity. You can see in the front in the center. About 1 inch in size. This deity actually belonged to devotee called Upendra, who I mentioned before, who was Srila Prabhupada's secretary and cook many times, but who later, after Srila Prabhupada left, he had a great deal of difficulty and he was absent in the association of devotees for a length of time. We found the deity in a shop in 1966 in San Francisco, so practically that was the first deity that came to Australia, because he carried the deity in a little cloth bag in his feed bag. And he had a tendency, even when he was distant from devotional life, he kept the deity, he kept his beads. And so he retained the deity. The deity went through all of the different ups and downs of Upendra's life with him right till his departure from this world. And then the deity came to our care. And so Gopinath is very small. And from Gopinath being very small, that's how come everybody else you can see up there is also very tiny. If he had been a little larger, we would have been happy because he's very minute. But we came to become very fond of him when the same thing occurred, the idea of depicting pastimes, entering into the Leela of Vrindavan by this time. And so here you can see on either side, after some time, first I had a person across near the Krishna Balaramandir, he was carving the original stone figures, so I did not make them. But he carved them, and at a certain point I discovered if I impressed him into clay, I could make my own molds. If I could make my own molds, I could make as many as I wanted. So this was a major breakthrough for my developing mood, insofar as then I could make little displays, little dioramas and so forth. So these are two of Krishna's very sweet pastimes, his holy lila. And of course they're very simple and you can see they're somewhat childish, but at the same time they're a part of an endeavor to continue in this mood of smaranam, whether in Vrindavan or outside of Vrindavan. So, and in the middle, as I was mentioning, you can see these are the original, in the middle centerpiece of the original stone carved deities that I have painted of Krishna, Lalita Devi and Srimati Radharani at the top. This little display in the middle, I prepared it for Radhastami this year, and I prepared it a few days earlier. So when it came Lalita Devi's appearance day, I thought, oh, this is a good one because we can celebrate two festivals with this particular offering. And so I put the personalities in a different order. Krishna remained at the bottom, but Srimati Radharani was in the middle, and Lalita Devi from the very top above Srimati Radharani was telling Krishna that you cannot come here to see her, because on that particular day we acknowledge the wonderful position of Lalita Devi, that she is like a Shiksha Guru even for Radha and Krishna. So this is the mood of this middle section of the display. So please come and take a close look. And we have so many more at Gopinath Dham, where we live in Perth. We're gradually developing a gallery of these miniature displays, which we hope to put onto the internet gradually, so that devotees can visit us at Gopinath Dham without difficulty. So as we proceed in that task, we would like to invite you all to please come and visit us there. Thank you. Arigato.